Welcome to the podcast series of Dave Gilpin. Dave could actually say anything he likes about himself at this point because he wrote the spiel. He's chosen, however, to make it entirely factual. Born in Kazakhstan and raised by a herd of wildebeest, Dave took a BA flight to the UK to pioneer the multi-congregational Hope City Church. To find out more, visit hopecitychurch.tv or davegilpin.com. Enjoy the ministry.
Excellent. Give someone a high five and you can take your seats. Great. How are we today? You are sounding great today. Aren't they, Colin? Everyone's sounding great, looking great. It's summer in Hope City Church. And hands up if you are a busy beaver, if you're a busy person feeling busy. I finished the radio show in London every Saturday. I did it for almost 2.5 years. And getting up at 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning and then driving down to London, doing the show from 8 till 11 and driving back and coming back at about 4 p.m. And I did that for almost 2.5 years. Now, I finished. Thank you very much, whoever that was. Thank you very much. That's the only praise I've got for it so far. Slogging the guts out. So I finished a couple of months ago, but life just hasn't slowed down. I thought that it would do. And I figured out why I've remained busy after finishing the radio show. Would you like to hear my statistical analysis of why my life is so busy? Okay. The population of Great Britain is 60 million. 26 million are retired. That leaves 34 million to do the work. There's 20 million at school, which leaves 14 million to do the work. Of this, 7.5 million are employed by the government, which leaves 6.5 million to do the work. 2.5 million are on disability, which leaves 3.8 million to do the work. Take from the total the 3,710,000 people who work for local authorities, and that leaves 90,000 to do all the work. At any given time, there's 20,000 people in hospital, leaving 70,000 to do all the work. Now, there are 69,990 people in prison. And that just leaves 10 of us to do the work. No wonder. For the whole of Britain, no wonder we are absolutely exhausted. There comes a time when you're stressed, you got to put on your game face. And I've seen it in the last couple of weeks with Jen and with Jen's brother Rob, that they put on, in the face of adversity, in the face of uncertainty, they put on their game face. And I'm going to talk about the four faces that God puts on for you to help you in your game. I want to say hello to everybody from Liverpool all the way over to Frankfurt. Hello. And we're about to give a huge ovation for everyone from Newcastle all the way across the big pond to Africa, Ghana, Accra. Hello. And everybody on YouTube, everyone on iTunes, hello. This is Hope City Church in Sheffield. Let me read you from Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4 to 14. And as I'm reading, you are not on drugs. This is what the Bible says. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each had of the four had the face of a man. On the right side, each had the face of a lion. On the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread upwards, Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another, creatures on either side, the two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures were like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. I've called the message the four faces of heaven, but I could easily call it the four faces of God. Something's happening in the core leadership of heaven to manifest itself with four faces. It's got the face of an eagle. Heaven's got the face of an ox. Heaven's got the face of a lion. And heaven's got the face of a man. The eagle sees. It sees stuff that we cannot see. The ox perseveres beyond where our strength comes to an end. The lion roars when we're shrouded in our fears. And the man understands and listens in the midst of our weakness. In heaven, there is the face of an eagle. There is the face of an ox. There is the face of a lion. And there is the face of a man here to help you in your game. To up your game, to succeed in your game. The face of heaven is toward you today. Number one, the face of an eagle, the face that sees. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 to 6, it says this: "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my command, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasure possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." He's the eagle that carries, and he's the eagle that sees. He carries you, and he sees where he's taking you. He carried the nation of Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and he saw their future to be a treasured possession. He saw their future to be a kingdom of priests. He saw their future to be a holy nation. When you cannot see, he sees. When you cannot believe, he believes. 1 John 3 verse 20 says that God knows everything. He sees everything. Job 37 verse 16 says, Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge. He's perfect in knowledge. There's not one thing about your past, your present, or your future that he doesn't know. He is perfect. He's not ignorant concerning anything with regards your life and your predicament. He's perfect. He's fully complete in the knowledge of where you're at and where he wants to take you. In Matthew, not one sparrow falls to the ground without his knowledge. You think that God can't see the little sparrows falling, the little hopes that fall every day around your life, the little dreams that are grounded on a daily basis. God counts the sparrows that fall because he's perfect in knowledge. God, your God, is perfect in knowledge. God is not ignorant. He's not incomplete. His love isn't missing little bits of knowledge. God is mindful of your past. He's mindful of your present, and he's mindful of your future. He knows the plans. He knows his will. He knows his ways. He knows the exit route, and he knows what he's up to. He is the eagle. He is your eagle. Welcome to the face of God. It's the face of the eagle. The eagle sees for miles. The eagle sees the sparrows. The eagle sees the hairs on your head. He is the eagle today. He is your eagle today. He's the one that flies high. He's not a chicken. He's not a sparrow. He is the eagle that carries you. And he sees you. There was a carpenter who was building some wooden crates for clothes that the church was sending to an orphanage in China. On his way home, he reached into his shirt pocket to find his glasses, but they were gone. And when he mentally replayed his earlier actions, he realized what happened. The glasses had slipped out of his pocket and fallen into one of the crates, which he'd nailed shut. His brand new glasses were heading for China. The Great Depression was at its height, and he had six children. And he spent $20 on the glasses that morning. He was incredibly upset having to buy another pair. He said to God, "It is simply just not fair." Several months later, the missionary in charge of the orphanage from China was in town as part of a plan to visit and thank the churches that supported his work in China, including the Carpenter Small Church. The missionary began by thanking the people for the faithfulness in supporting the orphanage. But most of all, he said, "I must thank you for the glasses that you sent last year." See, the communists had just swept through the orphanage, destroying everything, including my glasses, and I was desperate. Even if I had the money, there was simply no way of replacing those glasses. Along with not being able to see well, I experienced headaches every day, so my co-workers and I were in much prayer about this. Then your crates arrived. When my staff removed the covers, they found a pair of glasses lying on top. The missionary paused long enough to let his words sink in. Then, still gripped with wonder of it all, he explained, "Folks, when I tried on the glasses, it was as if they were custom made for me. And I want to thank you for being a part of that." The people listened, happy for the miraculous glasses, but the missionary surely must have confused their church with another, they thought. There were no glasses on the list of items to be sent overseas. But sitting quietly in the back, with tears streaming down his face, an ordinary carpenter realized that the master carpenter had used him in an extraordinary way. Okay. Your missing glasses are on their way. Because he's the eagle. The stuff that you lost last year, the part of you that was taken from you a decade ago, those things that were misplaced in the last month, they're on their way. Because God sees and God retrieves. He's the eagle. He carries and he sees. When God provided a sacrifice for Abraham instead of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, the ram was already in the thicket. God didn't create the ram as the sacrifice when it was needed. He had already placed it before it was needed. Your future has already been provided by God because he is Jehovah Jireh. It's not just the Lord will provide, it's the Lord has already provided for you. He's not stumped by your difficulty. He's not caught out by your dilemma because he's the eagle. He sees way beyond what you can see. The eagle sees the ram. The eagle sees the glasses. When Jesus saw the woman at the well, he knew that she had five husbands and the man she was living with was currently not a husband. He knew it before being told. When Lazarus died, Jesus said to his disciples, "Lazarus has just popped off." Nobody told him about it. When Jesus was preparing the Last Supper, he said in Mark 14, he said to his disciples, "Go into the city. A man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house who enters, the teacher asks, 'Where's the guest room where I might eat my Passover with the disciples?' He'll show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." How did Jesus know that? That they'd meet a man with a pitcher, that they'd follow him to a man who owned an inn. They'd follow him upstairs to a man who had prepared an upper room. How did Jesus know that? Because Jesus is the eagle. Because Jesus knows everything. He knows the entirety of your past, the entirety of your thoughts, the entirety of your complexity. He knows your future. He's got the exit routes marked out. He knows the exit routes. He's not ignorant. He's not incomplete. He's not an idiot. He's not dumb. He's an eagle, the smartest of all birds, who flies right now high above your life, who knows every pathway into your destiny of being a treasured possession, of being a holy priesthood, and being a holy nation. He's the eagle. He's not lost. Allow him to carry you. You're not lost. He's not confused. He's perfect in knowledge. Okay, he hasn't led you so far to dump you. He hasn't taken you through your 20s and through your 30s to dump you in your 40s. He hasn't set it up with the origins of your life just to test you without turning your test into a testimony. He hasn't led you to the point of your obedience to Christ that's led to a mess and a dilemma. He hasn't done it to leave you in a mess. He's done it to create a message out of the mess. Because he's your eagle. No sparrow fall into the ground without the eagle knowing about it. There's no difficulty that's too treacherous for the eagle. He lives on rocky outcrops. He flies on the thermals of the spirit. Right now, God has the face of an eagle. He sees you. Well, the second phase, if the eagle sees, then the ox perseveres. He's got the face of an eagle and he's got the face of an ox. Sometimes in your life, success is doing the right thing long enough. It's not changing plans. It's not panicking. It's holding your nerve. It's not giving up 5 minutes before the miracle. It's doing the right thing. Not just being faith-filled, but being faithful to God. Sometimes you just need the power of an ox. And right now, coming beside you, not flying in from above, but coming beside you is the power of an ox. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus described himself as, "I am the ox." He's not just the bread of heaven that gives you energy. He's not just the light of the world to show up the pathway to your future. He is the ox. He is your strength, not just your power. And he says this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke," that's a farming term, "upon you, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that's farming terminology. Jesus says, "I'm the stronger oxen. I'm in the middle of the field of your destiny." He says, "Come to me. This is too much for you. It's too much strain. It's too much stress. Come to me. Come on, younger oxen. Let's get yoked together. And if we get yoked together, I'll take the largest part of the strain. As long as you don't drag, as long as you don't strive, as long as you get into the unforced rhythm of grace, then my yoke is easy." There is an ox in your field of endeavor right now that's saying, "Stop trying to do this on your own. Some mountains are meant to be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Other mountains are meant to be traversed. Never traverse a mountain alone." Some of you are stressed, but far too stressed to be successful in life. Jesus didn't say that his burden is non-existent. He said that his burden is light. You need to reduce the stress load of your life by obeying the scripture, "Coming unto the oxen. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." In comparison to the weight that you are carrying, this is a much lighter weight for you. Hold on. Hold tight. Jesus the ox has the ability to uproot trees, to break through rocks, and to smash down walls. Never underestimate the power of perseverance. From the diary of John Wesley, Sunday a.m., 5th of May, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May the 5th, preached at St. John's, And deacons said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, preach at St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached at St. Somebody Else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday night, May the 19th, preached on the streets, kicked off the streets. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, preached in the meadow, chased out of the meadow as bull was turning loose during the service. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached out on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. Don't underestimate the power of Jesus the ox to give you the strength to persevere, to give you the strength to keep on going, not to quit just before the miracle eventuates. The power of perseverance, the power of consistent perseverance. Jesus Christ doesn't just want to give you power. Jesus Christ wants to give you strength, strength to endure. When a cliff falls into the sea, which wave did it? Was it the first wave that under-ripped the cliff, that removed four grains of sand from under the cliff? Was it the last wave that finally undid the remaining 10 grains of sand and the huge cliff face came down? Was it the first wave or was it the last wave? Or was every wave accountable to the cliff coming down? Sometimes in life, it's not the final punch that knocks something out. It's every punch that knocks something out. When you're breaking open a rock, was it the first hit or the last hit? Or did every hit do it? When you're axing down a tree, was it the first or the last that brought the tree down? It was every cut from every swing of every axe to bring down every tree. Never underestimate the power of today. Never underestimate the power of a single step. Never underestimate the power of another step forward today, then another step forward tomorrow, then another step forward the next day. It's not the leaps of faith that change planet Earth. It's the steps of a good man. It's the steps of an ox. It's the steps of somebody who's attached themselves to Jesus the ox in order to endure, in order to break every hard soil, in order to conquer every mountain, in order to strip off every root within your life. It's the power of the ox. It's the power of Jesus Christ. Never underestimate the power of another day yoked to Jesus the ox. The eagle sees, ox endures, and then the lion roars. Rawr. You need an eagle. Especially when tears block your vision. You need an ox, especially when weakness infuses into every bone. And you need a lion, someone who roars at the enemy, someone who devours and has your enemy for breakfast. You need a power-hungry God to come alongside you. At Holy Trinity Brompton National Conference that was in Albert Hall just not long ago, Ella Mumford, who's the mother of Marcus Mumford from Mumford and Sons, she runs with her husband the Vineyard churches in the United Kingdom. When she got up, I don't think it would work here because I don't think we're quite as educated as those people down at Holy Trinity Brompton. But the first thing she said was, Aslam is on the move. And I'll try it out. I'll just forget that bit, right? We need a lion that roars. Hope City Church, Aslam is on the move. Yeah, not quite the same. Not quite the same, but you got to pitch it to the audience that you've got, you know. And what's that? From Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe. Ah, that's the problem. Aslam. L-A-N. We're going to have to cut this bit out of the video. That's terrible. That's why we wouldn't do it here, because I can't even pronounce it. It's not you. I was thinking it was you, but it's not you. It's me. It's me and you. It's you and me together. We need to stay away from stuff that has educated overtones, right? We need to strip it back, don't we? Aslan. It's a stupid name. It is a stupid name. Stupid film. A stupid series. It's just a stupid author. Okay. That'll all be edited out. I will look awesome. In actual fact, to look awesome, I'm going to say that again. Aslan is on the move. Rawr! No, that wouldn't go down well down there, you know, in Poshville. But anyway, entertained you guys. There comes a time where enough is enough and God intervenes. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." Don't be dismayed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. In 1 John 3:8, "He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the evil one." The Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion. He has the face of a lion. He's here to destroy the works of the evil one. Death could not hold him down. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus rose, is risen, and will come again in a victory procession. This is your God. You need a lion. You need the strength of a lion. You need to make the lion your greatest friend, because the lion is about to bring victory into your life. Where there's impossibility, the lion roars and the lion laughs at impossibility, and it says, "It shall be done." It declares things that are not as though they already are. In Matthew 17, verse 14 to 18, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt down, "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus said, "Oh, I'm believing in perverse generation." Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Jesus rebuked the demon. It could be the very thing, the very force that is niggling you. It could be dark satanic powers. Jesus rebuked the demon. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Jesus rebuked the Pharisee, because Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he declares it, it is, it shall be, so be it. When Jesus says, "Be healed," they were healed immediately from that hour. Her daughter was healed. The centurion's servant was healed, because Jesus is commander and ruler over all waves, all powers, all principalities, and over death itself. Death, where is your sting? There comes a time, Psalm 97, verse 3 to 6 comes true. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. There's coming a time in your life that you will see the glory of God, where you will see every prayer answered, where you'll see every breakthrough delivered, because he is Aslan. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is your God. He's the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God. He is stronger than any mountain. He is greater than any force. He is more powerful than any wave that's about to hit your life. Jesus Christ is the Lion. He's your lion. He's your lion heart. The lion's in love with you. He's there to protect you. He's there to break through on your behalf. And lastly, if the face of an eagle sees, and the face of an ox perseveres, and the face of a lion roars, then the face of a man understands. He gets it. You said, well, no one gets me. No, there is a face, there is a side to God that absolutely gets you. In actual fact, when nobody else gets you, he is a friend that sticks closer and knows you closer than someone DNA'd to you. He sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ preferred to be known on earth, not as the Son of God, but he preferred to be known as the Son of Man. Because he came to know what it's like to be abused. He came to know what it's like to be abandoned. He came to know what it's like to be on a cross for something you never did. He came to know what it's like to be made redundant. He came to know what it's like to experience emotional turmoil. He came to know what it's like to sweat drops of blood. He came to know what it's like to cry for one of his best friends called Lazarus who had died. He came to know what it's like to be human, strictly human. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 about Jesus. It says, since we've got a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way. Listen, tempted in every way. Let's just, for all the men here, let's include sexual temptation. Let's include every variety of sexual temptation for all the men here. Jesus was tempted in every way. Don't think he tiptoed through the tulips. Jesus had an onslaught of temptation on an hourly basis. He was tempted in the same ways you are, but more intensely, so that he could represent humanity to the Father God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died on behalf of God and on behalf of man. He's never deluded with you, because he never had any illusions of you. He knows who you are. He knows the way you tick, and he fully understands. And he says this in verse 16, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He sees, he walks, he roars, he listens. These are the four faces of your God. This is your God. He sees perfect knowledge.
He endures, Jesus the ox. He roars, rah, mountains melt like wax. And he listens, and he fully gets you and fully understands. I'm going to wrap this up and saying, but there are also these four faces are the four faces of leadership. They're the four faces of prayer. They're the four faces of parenting. They're the four faces of marriage. They're the four faces of the faith life. Somebody asked Helen Keller, what's worse than being born deaf, dumb, and blind? She said, having sight but having no vision. We need to become eagles. We need to see with the eyesight of God. There's a time to rise up in vision, a time to declare the vision. There's a time, Hope City Church, to write the vision down. There's a time to pull away from the rock face and to glide on the thermals of God and begin to see and begin to dream. This is that season right now. To begin to come back to ideals, to come back to God's purpose for your life rather than just the treadmill of life. These are one of those times. There's a time to get absorbed by the promises of God. It's the face of an eagle. When you get knocked down, there's a time to get up again. When you fall off a horse, there's a time to get back on it. Jesus prophesied not all seed would make good soil. There's the face of an ox that shrugs off failure. Everybody wants kids. Everyone's excited about having kids. The problem with kids is when you've got them, every day seems like the last day. Sometimes in the vision realm, we know the vision that God has for our kids to raise up urban missionaries, to take the gospel into places and into generations we could never take it. But sometimes you just need the face of an ox. You just need to keep doing the right thing day in, day out. You just need a bit of consistency. There's coming a time when your parenting will finish, but while it's there, it's not glorious. There's poo all over the place. There's stuff all over the walls. It's not pretty. That's why Jesus Christ wants to give you the spirit of the ox. There's a time for breakthrough in every child's life. There's a time to breakthrough in your life. Honda said this, you got to hate something to change something. There's a time to get mad. There's a time to shake the Casbah. There's a time for power. Bible says from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There comes a time for shout for the Lord and for Gideon, for the Lord has given us the city. And there's a time to worship. Here's my last minute, right? I think it's quite clever, so I'm just going to say it, okay? You all okay? I'm wrapping this up, right? You might be used to putting on your game face in the light of troubled times, uncertain times, and anxious times. Let Jesus be your ox. You may have been living with a face like thunder for the past fortnight. Let Jesus be your eagle. You may have a long face and you think there's no hope. It's time for a face lift. Let Jesus be your lion. You may have recently had a slap in the face or thought it's time to face the music. Let Jesus Christ be your man. Keep your eyes open. Holy Spirit, let your strength and let your power fill every person. Lift your hands to Jesus right now and leave your eyes open. Father, fill every person in this room. Fill them with the Spirit of grace, with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit and the power of heaven. Let heaven come to earth as you did Jesus Christ by dying on the cross and striking a covenant with us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would lift our heads, that you would lift our eyes, that you give each one of us a facelift. And Father God, those with a game face, Lord, you take their face off, that they would put on the face of Jesus, that they would see the face of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, strengthen, understand, build, and lift. And Father God, that incredible scripture from Daniel, they that know their God, they that know the eagle, those that know the ox, those that know the lion, those that know the man, shall be strong and do mighty exploits. Father God, we proclaim strength. We proclaim mighty exploits in Jesus' mighty name, and a revival amongst the saints from this day forward. With every eye closed, there's people here, right here, that you need to connect to God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross to represent you on the cross, to die for your sins and for your misgivings, so that you wouldn't have to face the punishment for your sins. He has already done it, but you need to receive Him. If today you feel like you've lived life away and out of relationship with God, you've lived life on your own, in your own strength, in your own ways, the occasional prayer has led you here today. And Jesus says, hey, let's hook up. If you want to hook up to Jesus and get connected to Jesus, make Him your Savior. If you've been backslidden and you need to reconnect with God, this is the prayer.